Today's scripture reading is taken from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 8 and 31 to 35. Verse 1. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gathered daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Verses 31 to 35. Now the house of Israel called its name Manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years, till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. This is the word of the Lord. Good morning. How are you today? I am Veronica. I am also the missions pastor. Today, we will continue the Exodus series and look at chapter 16 particularly. Before we begin, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you said in Isaiah 55 verse 10, "For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall your servant's word be that goes out from your servant's mouth. You shall not return to you empty, but it shall accomplish that which you purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which you send it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Do you like donuts? Let me show you a picture of donuts. What do we see? Do we see the colorful toppings and various kinds of cream on the donuts? Or do we see the hole in the donut? Perhaps we see more cons in eating donut than the pros. Or we see the efforts put in making such pretty donuts. My point is that every one of us has different perspectives on viewing things and situations, and it will involve different responses in us as well. I don't eat donuts because of the calories and sugar in it, but I like to see the creative designs of it. The pretty sight of the donuts make me happy. However, another person sees the same donuts as I see, may have a different perspective of it, and it may create negative feelings. So when we study Exodus, we need to take note of the different perspectives and responses of the characters in their circumstances. And we will do that in chapter 16. Let me first give a brief recap. On the screen, we can see a journey map. It shows the traveling route of the Israelites. After the 10 plagues in Egypt, the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Shukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And they moved on from Sukkoth and encamped at Etam on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way. Then the people of Israel encamped between Middle and the sea. And this was where the miracle of crossing the Red Sea happened and their enemies destroyed. Moses further led the people to the desert of Shur. They witnessed another miracle of bitter water became sweet and Mara after they grumbled no water. They came to Elim, and from there they journeyed to the desert of Sin on the second month after they departed from Egypt. Their pivotal destination in their journey was Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, where they would meet God there. The above summary sets the background for chapter 16, which we focus today. So what do we observe from the summary background? There are 3 points on the slide. Firstly, God's presence was with his people all the time, and it was God who led them to the desert. Secondly, God's people, almost 2 million of them, including livestock, had journeyed on foot for more than 1 month in a hard land. Thirdly, the hardship that the people of God faced tested their faith in the mighty God. Exodus 16 opens the chapter by first telling us where God's people encamp. It is crucial to take note of the location where God's people were. Exodus 16 verse 1 says, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. How does the desert of Sin look? We can see the picture on the slide. The wilderness in the Bible usually portrays as challenging and dry land. It has an extreme climax too. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 15 describes the wilderness as great and terrifying, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. It is a place of scarcity, danger and attack. But it is also the place where God delivers His people, provides for them, and reveals Himself. So the wilderness or desert has a dual spiritual significance in the Bible, depending on which perspective we see. If we look at it as a problematic situation only, then we will always be associated with negative feelings or meanings. However, if we also see from God's perspective, then the desert can become a place of abundance. How are we today? Do we feel that we are in a desert or wilderness? Lacking something, our needs not met? Or are we going through a rough time? I hope that the Spirit of God will help us to see what God is doing in our midst through His people in Exodus. Remember that the people of God were in a wilderness, a place of scarcity. After they had settled down, a crisis happened in a camp. My first point is that God's people grumble against God when put to the test. Chapter 16, verses 2 to 3 say, "And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" The crisis was that the people found no food there, so they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Just imagine the whole congregation of Israel, more than 1 million people, were unhappy and complained to Moses. It created great tension in the community. When one started to grumble, another followed, and the rest joined in. Consider the effects of grumbling or complaining on other people. It only invokes negative feelings like resentment, frustration, dissatisfaction, and others. It also paints a discouraging and hopeless future. The people of Israel found their life in the wilderness hard. A place full of dangers and discomfort that contrasted sharply to their life in Egypt, where they thought they had enjoyed relatively well, where they sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. They would rather die in comfort in Egypt than to die of hunger in the wilderness. We can empathize with their concern and grumbling because they were anxious about their basic needs, food for the whole assembly. But they quickly forgot their powerful experiences of the mighty works of God. Through the plagues, leaving Egypt out of slavery, the crossing of the Red Sea, and bitter water became sweet. They might have forgotten God's intention in bringing them out of Egypt. Genesis chapter 15 verses 13 to 14 say, "Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they served, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. It was God's promise in His covenant stated in Genesis 15 to bring His people out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery for a greater purpose. So how would God let them die in the wilderness in the first place? The current challenge that the people of God faced had overpowered them, and they were unable to remember and trust God's control and presence with them. Many a time we are like the people of Israel as well. When we face challenges or difficulties, we also forget that we can still trust God, who is still in control. We easily forget our encounters of God's love, provision, help, deliverance, and whatnot. We have a similar response like Israel. We grumble or complain against God when the going gets tough. We question, why has God allowed this to happen to me? We would rather live a comfortable life than to be tested by God from time to time through trials, because we know that the test would be a great struggle for us. So what is God's purpose of putting His people through His faith test? If the people of Israel's departure from Egypt is considered their spiritual birth, then they are now in a period of spiritual infancy, the beginning where God is taking them by His loving hand, teaching them patiently about who He is and what is His plan for them. When we study this chapter more in depth, we will realize that this is not just a story about the grumbling of God's people, but God's care for His people, as we see from verse 4 onwards. 1 month after their departure from Egypt, the people of Israel used their perception of their situations as the norm to judge their current crisis. They still have not learned that even though they are in a wilderness with no food or water, God is above their situations, so they grumble. But God uses their grumbling as an opportunity to teach His people about Himself and not to punish them. There are three learning points here on the slide. Firstly, we must not judge our situations by how we see them, but by how God wants us to see them. Secondly, all around us is the ever-present temptation to see ourselves as the center of the earth. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to resist the temptation to grumble if our needs are not met. Thirdly, depending on God every day is a life learning lesson for us as God's people. I remember when I answered God's call to serve Him full-time many years ago, I always felt that I lacked financially. It was tough whenever I noticed I had little savings. I worried that I would live in poverty during old age. I complained to God at times. God knew my concern, and He taught me to depend on Him through many trials and tests. It was very challenging emotionally for me. But through my desert experience, God revealed His love through His provision and care as well. And I grew in deeper intimacy with the Lord as a result. Thank God. So how should we respond to God when we feel that we are in a desert or lacking something? It is my prayer that God will help us to see our desert or situations from His divine perspective to invoke the right response to Him. If we have been grumbling or complaining for very long, then I suggest that we should change that to praying more to God and ask God to direct us in His way. And God will speak to us when we seek Him earnestly. So God has His purpose when He put His people through trials and tests. My second point is God's purpose for testing His people is to teach them to obey Him. When God's people grumbled at the wilderness, God knew their needs. Verses 4 and 5 say, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.'" These verses tells us that God cares for His people by promising to provide for their needs and at the same time to teach them to obey His commands. As soon as Aaron spoke to the whole assembly of the people of Israel, verses 10 and 11 say, they looked towards the wilderness and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" These verses emphasize that God is in control and His presence is among His people. So did God do as He promised? Yes. Verse 13 says, "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp." God provided food for His people in the desert is the climax of the story here. It is another miracle from God. It shows the power and love of God's gracious provision for His dear people. God rained bread from heaven was a wow factor in the camp. The next two verses tells us that God's people were excited and curious about what this was. Verses 14 and 15 say, "And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Can you believe it? It is not about the food to fill their stomachs that we are talking about here. The bread from heaven shows who God is to His people. It stresses the loving God, the giver and not the gift. As long as we have the giver, we do not need to worry about food or our needs. Our mighty God indeed can provide all that we need in His ways. After God rained down food to His people, Moses gave them specific instructions to follow as specified by God. God's test for them began from here. We can see a chart on the slide. It gives a summary of the activities in the camp. Let me briefly go through the chart starting from the left box to the right. Point 1. God commanded the people of Israel to gather a day's portion every day. Some gathered more and some gathered less, but there was sufficient and no extras. Point 2. God's command for his people was not to leave the bread till the next morning, but some disobeyed and the bread was rotten. Point 3. On the sixth day, God commanded them to collect 2 days' portion. They did, and the bread for the next day did not rot. Point 4. On the seventh day, God commands for his people was to rest and no gathering of food, but some disobeyed and gathered none. From the above, we can observe the mentality of God's people. That is, it is good to have more and save up than to have enough. That's why some gathered more in point 1 but did not have more, and some left it to the next day in point 2 but did not get to eat it because it was rotten. And some went up to gather more on the rest day, which found none in point 4. So in whatever the situations, there was enough for everyone in the camp. God provided enough for his people every day, just as his promise. But God's people wanted more. They were not contented with what God gave them for their daily supply. God tested them this way was to help them to be aware of their discontentment in life. And his ultimate purpose was to teach his people to obey him. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 16 that he fed Israel in the wilderness with manna that their fathers did not know. He might humble and test them to do them good in the end. For the people of Israel to receive their inheritance and joy, abundance in the promised land, obedience to God is the way forward here. There are 3 learning points for us. Firstly, God's purpose to put us through his trials or tests is for our good, is to humble us to depend on him every single day. Secondly, learning to obey God and his commands is part of our faith journey with him. Thirdly, learning to live a contented life is God's path for us as his people. And Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 13 reinforce this point. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what is it to be in need, and I know what is it to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. From the above 3 learning points, the 3rd point stood out to me the most during my sermon preparation at that time. I know and learn about contentment in the Bible, but somehow I forgot about it at times. I need reminders. I am influenced by what our society and the people around me advocating to earn more and save more for a better retirement in the future. I am very grateful to God for such a timely reminder that to live a contented life is God's path for me as his people. It is for me to spend time to reflect more in depth in what ways have I not been contented, and learn to depend on God even more. I will encourage us to do the same. Let us make it a goal to live our lives with contentment, as this is God's plan for us as His people. My final point is God's perpetual reminder of His gracious sustenance to His people. Interestingly, the final six verses in chapter 16 emphasize on manna. Let me read. Now, the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. God instructed Moses to store some of the manna in a jar and put it with the Ark of Testimony, which was not built until chapter 37. It served as a continuous reminder to the generations of God's people that God provided for them, that God has delivered them from slavery. So when the people of Israel saw a fine flake-like thing on the ground and asked Moses, "What is it?" in verse 15. And this question in Hebrew became its name. Hence, manna was named. Manna was a tasty wafer with honey, and God rained it down from heaven in abundance to feed close to 2 million people in the desert for 40 years. Manna seems to be a foretaste of the blessings in Canaan, the promised land which God promised in His covenant with His people. So, manna has some future-oriented meanings here. It shows that God is able and willing to provide for His people in their wilderness experience. Jesus says in John chapter 6:58, "This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus emphasizes that He is the true manna sent from heaven, capable of sustaining both life on this earth and life eternal. Recently, the Straits Times reported that Singapore's unemployment rises steadily. The article is on the slide. It says that the labor market is starting to feel the full force of the COVID-19 pandemic, with retrenchments and unemployment rising in the second quarter of the year. Amid ongoing uncertainties, observers said that the labor market is likely to remain weak for some time to come. Retrenchment in the 3 months to end June more than doubled to 8,130 compared with the first quarter, MOM said. In all, a total of 11,350 people were laid off in the first half of the year, making it the worst showing since the global financial crisis of 2009. The article burdened my heart after I read it. Many people have lost their jobs and businesses and have difficulty finding a suitable job. We worry about our future and financial needs. If our family members, friends, or us are the affected ones. Take heart. We have just heard that Jesus is our true manna. Who can sustain us on this earth? And God will provide us in our desert experience. So, let us depend on God every day, for He promises to provide for all our needs. For we are God's precious people. Let us know how we can help you too. Our church temporary support fund is still open for application. If you are interested in applying, please talk to your cell group leaders or to the pastors. If we need to talk to someone about our situations, please feel free to approach your cell group leaders or the pastors too. However, if you are new to us, you can drop us an email at our church website. We'll be glad to hear from you and render our support. Remember the picture of donuts? We have our perspectives when we look at the donuts. To some, it will be very appealing, but to others, it will not be. But I hope that the richness of the donuts will remind us of God's gracious provision or blessings to us as His people in our desert experiences, despite our grumbling, and it should invoke a right response to our loving God as a result. As we close, let us be silent and close our eyes for a while, and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts as we ponder over the questions that I'm going to ask you. Have we been grumbling or complaining about our situations or our unmet needs for a long while? Will we tell God now to teach us to depend on Him every day? Have we been wanting more and not satisfied with God's provision? Will we ask God now to teach us to live with contentment? Let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving and caring for us. You assure us that you are with us and you will provide for our needs in your way. Lord, have mercy on us and do not test us too long. Teach us to obey what you have taught us today. May we pass your tests and grow in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.